All right. Tonight, we've been talking about the life of faith. And tonight, we want to continue that teaching, but we are talking tonight about fearless faith. Fearless faith. Here's our scripture that we are using for a departure point, and it comes out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Whenever you see the word faith, you're talking about the Word of God, because the Word of God and faith are interchangeable, cannot be separated. If somebody says something about their believing God for something, the first thing you ask them is, what word do you have on it? And if they can't give you a word, then there can't be any faith developed. Now, we can get some faith by just hearing about something or seeing somebody else get healed and so forth like that. But we want permanent faith. We want something that not only when we get our healing, we'll keep our healing. And so as we look at this tonight, I want to look at it in terms of fearless faith, or I call it absolute faith. I think that's what Joshua had as Joshua was going into a Canaan land to take possession of the promises that God had promised Israel. Joshua was a fearless leader, and he had fearless faith going into that place. So as we look at this, I'm going to just go through some things, some factors that I have here that God has kind of placed in my heart in terms of this kind of faith. One of the things that we are to do as believers we are to advance God's kingdom. We're to advance His kingdom. So when you're doing that, that means you're going to have to take more ground. When you're going to take more ground, then you're going to have a fight, because the enemy just doesn't give it up and just, you know, let you have it just freely. Now, there are going to be some times in our lives that some things are going to be happening for us, and there's a knowledge that we're going to walk in that when we come in on the scene, the devil is going to bow. So there are going to be some times like that. But let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, please. 1 Timothy chapter 6. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, and look at verse 12, if you will. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Underline, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Faith is a good fight in that you always win. Now, it's kind of interesting about this, because sometimes, whether you like it or not, you're going to be involved in warfare. You're going to be involved in a fight. And just because you have a fight on your hand doesn't mean that you miss God. If you remember a time that, well, let's go over to it. Let's just see a couple of places. Let's go over to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. I'm going to ask you to turn fairly quickly because I want to cover some territory and let you out so that you can get refreshed for the faith conference. Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. Let me know when you get there by saying praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 2. Now, this is the time that Jesus was born in the earth. And Jesus was born in the middle of a fight here. He was born in the middle of warfare going on, because the enemy is trying to keep the seed from coming into this earth. And look what it says here in Matthew chapter 2, and let's start here at verse 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child and Mary with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. By the way, when we say gold, sometimes people with, traditional thinking think, they look at these Christmas cards and they see three wise men opening up a little chest with a little gold in it. Folks, this wasn't a chest. These were donkeys staggering down the road carrying gold with them. And the Bible says, the historians say it was a train of magi that came. Nowhere in the Bible does it say three wise men. That is not in this Bible. Okay. So I want you to know that, no, Peter Daniels came here and said they did a study on how much gold was brought to Jesus and his house now, not at a manger, at his house on the time that he was a child, and it was about $400 million worth that was brought because they had to make a trip to Egypt. And, you know, they're going down there and they're not going as beggars. Look at verse 12. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed unto their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee to Egypt. And be there thou until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose and took the young child and his mother by night, and departed to Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. It's kind of interesting. Jesus was born in the middle of a war. And it was the will of God that he come into the earth. So sometimes people think because they're up against a war, up against a battle, up against something, that maybe this is not God's will. They start losing their faith and their confidence in the fact that they're doing right for God. And so you have to understand that, wait a minute, if God said it, then, you know, as you go from what he heard, what you heard, to making it manifest, there's going to be a battle en route. Let's go to another place. Let's go over to Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, please. Mark, chapter 4. Mark, chapter 4. Mark, chapter 4. In Mark, chapter 4, Jesus said here in verse 35, And the same day when evening was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over to the other side. Now, was that the will of God? Say yes. Say yes. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. Watch this. And there arose a great storm of wind, the waves beat into the ship, so it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. They awake him and said to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? He arose and rebuked the wind, said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea, what? Obey him. So notice, you can be right in the center of God's will and have a battle on your hands. And so I'm saying, because you have a battle does not necessarily mean you're out of the will of God. So what we want to do is we want to advance the kingdom. We want to get to the other side. And when you're going, a battle is at hand. So you're going to have fight the good fight of what?
Faith.
You're going to have to walk by faith and not by sight. You're going to have to walk by the word and not by how you feel. You with me? All right, so we are looking here at this whole idea of how faith plays a part in our lives, and that the just shall live by faith. And that means things that we do on a daily basis, we should add degree of faith to it. We said, don't let your faith just sit down on the couch and look at television and so forth, because your faith will atrophy, start getting weak and so forth. So you want to keep your faith working. Now, as you do keep your faith working, faith will grow for you. Turn to 2 Thessalonians in chapter 1, please. 2 Thessalonians in chapter 1. Thessalonians is by the T's. Timothy, Titus, Thessalonians. No, I'm trying to help folk now. Okay. All right. Let me know when you get there by saying praise the Lord. All right, look what it says in verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth what? Exceedingly. Now, isn't that interesting that you can have faith and your faith will grow? And it's just like working a muscle. You're going in a weight room to work out, and your muscles will grow. What you couldn't lift last year, you can lift more this year. Well, the same thing about your faith. The reason why you want to have more, because you can do more for the kingdom. You have more. Now, well, who in fact has faith? Well, let's go over here and see that in fact, the Bible says all men have not faith. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Look at verse 2. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. Now, let's verify that by going over to Romans chapter 12, please. Romans chapter 12. Are you there? Verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man, keep going, the measure of faith. Now, who is every man? All right? Look at verse 1. You'll see who every man is. I beseech you, therefore, who? Brethren. So it's talking to the brethren. People who don't know God don't have that faith. They don't have that faith. God has given each one of us the measure, not a measure. That means he might give you a little bit more than he gives me, and give War Roberts a little bit more than he gives Smith Wigglesworth. That's not the case. He gives every one of us the measure of faith. Now it's up to you to increase that faith. You have to work that faith. You have to confess and act on your faith. Say amen to that. So now, as we look at this, we're seeing that faith grows and all believers have been given the measure of faith. Now, one of the things that happens is you and I are in the world, but the Bible says that we are not of the world. Let's go to that we went to last Sunday over to John chapter 17, John's Gospel chapter 17. Over in John chapter 17, and I'll start reading at verse 14. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now you are not of the world. Say this, I am not of the world. Say it again. I am not of the world. One more time.
I am not of the world.
All right, let's go on down. Verse 15. I pray that thou shouldest take take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the what?
Evil.
Evil that is where?
In the world.
Okay. And the one way you stay separate from evil is stay in faith. So as you look at this here, he is not saying you're going to go get out of this world. He wants to keep you here. Now, the enemy knows that when you stay in faith, that you will defeat him every time. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians, please, in chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. So we're finding out that we have faith. We're finding out we're not of the world. And we're finding out that the faith that we have been given can grow. And look what it says here in verse 2, for those who stay in faith, in chapter 2 and verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which sometimes causes, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? So you don't win a few, lose a few, do you? You win them all. Hallelujah. Now, there's a difference between us and them, because it's very important that you see yourself differently. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 while we're there, and look at verse 17. For our light affliction, have you got it? Say praise the Lord. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, keep going, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are what? Temporal. But the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. So the things that we can see are subject to what? Change. They're subject to change. And the way you change them is by faith. You got to apply faith to change them. Now, he said, our light affliction, which is but for a moment. What do we mean by that? We mean that as you move forward, Satan is going to try to come against you. We call that affliction. We're not talking about sickness or disease. That's not the Greek word there. And he's going to try to come against you. But it's going to be only for a moment. See? If we look at the things that are not seen. See? But if we get out of faith and go back over into the flesh and start evaluating things based on our circumstances, then our affliction is going to be heavy and long. And that's why you see people going through things, and every time you see them, they're going through. Are you following what I'm saying? Well, that's what happened to the disciples on the way over to the other side. All of a sudden, they took their eyes off the word. The word went to sleep. And then they took their eyes and put them on the storm. Now they're trying to do it the world's way. They're trying to dip this water out with a bucket, trying to keep this thing afloat. Pretty soon they got so frustrated, they jumped on Jesus and accused him of not caring about it. Now, he's been feeding them for a couple of years, taking care of the whole family. They had no needs. They had no, I'm telling you, and then they jumped on him and accused him. Isn't that just like some fickle saints? The same one that's been feeding them the word of God for years, they're going to jump on and accuse him. But that's all right. Ain't no hate. But I want you to see this. See, because there was a fight of faith that they had. And they let go of that faith and they jumped back over here on the other side. And I'm just saying, stay with your faith. Once you get on it, stay in faith. Stay in faith. Now, it might not look like anything's happening from the beginning, but he always causes you to triumph. See, if you stay in faith, I believe this. I believe God will honor your faith, meaning that you're in faith. And let's say your faith is just, you're getting weary on this thing and you cry out for a little mercy. I think if you stay in faith, God will have somebody else to come to you and join their faith with you and help get you to the other side. I mean, that's how much it pleases him for somebody who is in faith. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay. So, Jesus' walk, he now is busy trying to get them to walk by faith and to live by faith and teaching them, of course, how to do it in each step of the way. They have some kind of obstacle that they've got to overcome. Now, let's go over to John chapter 8, please. John chapter 8. Now, I'm about to read a scripture, and this scripture is only being read because I want to show you the difference between you and other folk. Because sometimes we look at other people and think we're like them. But if they don't know Jesus, you're not like them. I mean, I'm not saying that we are hating on anybody. I'm just saying they don't have what you have. All right, look what it says here in John chapter 8 and verse 44. You are of your father, the devil. Now, this is Jesus talking to the religious people. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. And when he speaketh a lie. He speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, this is interesting. Let's go back to John chapter 1, please. Because sometimes people say, you know, we're all God's children. That's what they say, you know. That sounds good and all of that. But that ain't true. That is not true. Amen. All right, look what it says here, and go over here to John chapter 1, and look at John chapter 1 and verse 11. He came to his own, and his own received him what? Not. But as many as received him, to them gave he what? Power to become who? The sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. Okay? So as many as believed him, to them gave he power to become sons of God. He didn't give it to other folk. He gave it to them. And once you get born again, you're not like the other folk. You're different. Yeah, I said you are different. So you have a born-again spirit, which you shall not no longer live by bread alone, but by what? Every word. So you need to get your spirit fed. I said you need to feed your spirit. You got me? So now once you come into the kingdom, you just don't get comfortable just being saved. Understand that there's much more that God wants you to do. And we talked about that some on Sundays. All right, so when you have faith, faith can remove mountains for you. That's Mark chapter 11. Faith can stop storms. Faith can get sick healed, Mark chapter 5. Faith can feed the hungry, Mark chapter 6. Faith can receive the promises, Romans chapter 4. And faith can inherit promises, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. Faith can create. Faith can dominate. I don't know much that faith can't do. Think about it. Now, this is something you have. So you have something they don't have. I like what Bishop Oedipo said. Faith is an international currency. Man, that's good right there. All right. So now, the single greatest obstacle to success, and I think to people absolutely having their faith to work for them, is fear. It is a thief of faith. As a matter of fact, fear tolerated is faith contaminated. Now, we saw that over in Mark's gospel and Mark chapter 4. And we saw, come on over there. Let's go over there one more time. Remember what I said now. You're going to fight the good fight of what?
Faith.
All right. It's a good fight because you always what?
Faith.
You always win. All right. Now, in Mark chapter 4, he said here in verse 37, he said, "There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said to him, 'Master, careth thou not that we perish? Don't you care that we're about to die?'" That's I'm putting it in just lay words here. Verse 39, "And he arose and rebuked the wind, said to the sea," what? "Peace, be still." Keep going. "And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them," why are you so what?
Fearful.
Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have what? No faith. So notice what Satan did. Now he came against them not to make them stronger. He came against them to kill them. And sometimes people say, "Well, the Lord is trying to teach me something, trying to make me stronger." Well, maybe it's the devil trying to kill you. And what you need to do is wake up Jesus. I mean, you need to... you know, and so, all right, now, sometimes people are waiting on faith to work, and it hasn't worked because it's contaminated. You know, when water is contaminated, sometimes it'll do you some harm. Am I right about it? Well, faith can be contaminated. And it's contaminated often by fear. And so sometimes I call it fearless faith because in this particular teaching, I call it absolute faith, meaning that faith that has no fear mixed in it, no unbelief, no doubt mixed in it. Let me just show you how this works. I'll just show you this one thing, and then we're coming back to this. Look at Matthew chapter 14, please. And in Matthew chapter 14, this is good. This is when Peter saw Jesus walking on the water. Remember what I said, that faith dominates, that you can dominate the laws of gravity with faith. Look what it says in Matthew chapter 14. Let me know when you get there by saying, "Praise the Lord."
Praise the Lord.
23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was what? Contrary. Contrary means it was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, now that fourth watch is between what hours? Anybody know what that? 3 o'clock in a.m. and 6 a.m. Fourth watch of the night, Jesus went up unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for what? Fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him, said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come to thee on the water." And he said, "Well, come." And Peter came down out of the water and walked on the water, down out of the ship, pardon me, and walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was what? Afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried and said, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. And he said to him, "O thou of what? Little faith. Wherefore did you what? Doubt." So that doubt robbed him of his victory. It came in very, very, got him to look away from the word and look on his circumstances and crept in and robbed him of his victory of walking on the water, of his dominion. All right, I'm going to say something here. Fear, one man says, is the single greatest obstacle to success. And one of the first things it creates is total paralysis. Let's go back and look at Deuteronomy chapter 7, please. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Let me know when you get there. This is Moses talking now, talking about going into the land of Canaan and taking possession of their promises. "When the Lord thy God shall bring them into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and has cast out many nations from before thee, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you are." Now that's very, very important. These are seven nations. And what we started talking about last week is we started talking about two of those spirits, or one of those spirits, and we started talking about this spirit having to do with being able to keep God's people from their promises or from the promised land. As a matter of fact, we talked about, which spirit did we talk about last time? Perizzites. We talked about the Perizzites, and you can get the tape because I'm not going back. Now, these spirits are just what they are. They are spirits. And they are coming to try to control people in this earth and keep everything under Satan's demonic control. And notice what he said, they are greater and mightier than you are naturally. You remember what he told them over there in Exodus chapter 3? He said, "I am sure the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand." And remember what I told you? The king of Egypt is not going to let you go with human strength. Got it? And if you know anything about Zechariah, let me just read that to you. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6, he said, "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Watch this. An interpretation of might here is army. Not by army, nor by power or human ability, but by my what? Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. So you're going to be delivered all right, but not by army or not by human ability, but by my anointing. Now, this is powerful here. I want you to get this. So these nations are stronger. And what we said in these nations is that every one of them has something. In other words, each one of these is a strong man. And Hittites are the spirits of fear. They instill doubt and fear, and they make Christians, try to make Christians fearful. And God said over in 2 Timothy, don't turn there just because I'm going to say, 2 Timothy and chapter 1 and verse 7, he says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love, come on, and of a sound mind. See? Now notice what fear is. Fear is a what? A spirit. Now you got to get that in your mind. Fear is a spirit. And one of the ways that it operates is it is coming to contaminate your faith or rob you of your faith so that it can control you. Now, if you look at Job and Job chapter 3, please, over in the book of Job, you remember Job, don't you? Okay. Job had some major problems. But let's look and see what happened to Job. Look what it says in Job chapter 3, if you will. Come on over there. Come on. Come on. Job chapter 3 and verse 25. He says this. No. Pardon me. I'm ahead of myself. Verse 25. The thing which I what? Greatly feared is what? Come upon me. And that which I was what? Afraid of, come on, has come to me. See? Whenever you face your fears, you move toward them. And they will diminish and recede. When you back away from fear, those powers will grow until they will eventually try to dominate your whole life. Somebody said a little fear is healthy. Well, let's go over to the book of Revelation for that. Let's go over to Revelation and chapter 21, please. Come on, help me. I'm almost done. Revelation, come on, you need this lesson tonight. Revelation 21 and verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers, ooh, fear is categorized with whoremongers, and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake. Now, which part of fear you want? The lake of fire I'm talking about. Fear not. You can't even receive from God with fear. Why? Because fear connects you with the enemy. That's why he wants you to fear. And it is a spirit. And you, when you're talking about fear, people don't know they have fear unless the Spirit of God reveals it, until they get afraid. I've heard people say, oh, I can do that. And I put them up to it, and fear takes over. You know, people going up in airplanes. When I remember I was pilot training and training for airplanes. And this one guy, every time he went up, he was so fearful, see. And so his stomach would get upset, he'd spit up and so forth. And people, this other guy that I know, he busted out of pilot training, meaning he didn't make it. They had to send him out somewhere else because he couldn't land the airplane. He could take it off, but he couldn't land. Now, that's a pretty tough position to be in. But he it was in pilot training, and he had the instructor in there with him, and he'd take off. But when it comes down to land, he'd see the runway coming up at him, and he just could not land. He would take off again, and the instructor would eventually have to land. And I remember going up to his room. We call him Buck. And going up to his room, I said, he was from New Jersey. He was an engineering major coming out of Rutgers or somewhere like that. And going up to the room, I said, hey, man, I said, what's wrong? What's up here? You know, and he was drinking, you know, trying to anesthetize that thing, you know, trying to, oh, we do all kinds of things trying to get rid of fear. You'd be surprised what people do trying to get rid of fear. Say amen. Amen. And that's a demon, and he needs to be cast out. Do you hear what I'm telling you? And so what happened was, and he's a good man, and I mean smart and all that, but just had a fear of people say, I got a fear of flying. No, you got a fear of dying. It's a death thing that you're trying to get past. And here are four of the major fears that people have in their lives today. One is a fear of death. Second is a fear of uncertainty. Third is a fear of change. And fourth is a fear of poverty. Running out. Now I'm telling you, death, uncertainty, change, and poverty. And you need to hit every one of them in the head. If you fear running out, give it all. If you fear change, do something different. If you fear uncertainty, get yourself out of your comfort zone. If you fear death, hey, come on, fly. You know, say amen to this. Now, what I'm saying here is that the enemy comes in and he tries to put fear in our lives. And take that name out of that, what I call it a while ago. I don't know. I didn't mean that. Yeah, nah. And they know what I'm talking about. I'm talking rababo shandarababo. Okay. Now, look at this. Come on back to 2 Kings, if you will. In 2 Kings, in chapter 18. You know, I don't have a lot of time, so I'm not gonna be able to finish this here tonight. Now, remember the Hittites. Nightmares. Hittites are behind it. Come on, I'm trying to help you now. These are Hittites. They're designed to stop you. They couldn't keep you from getting saved, but they're trying to contain you now. They're trying to make it so that you're fearful of everything, fearful of driving, fearful of swimming, fearful of all phobias are controlled by Hittites. Everything. Fear of getting old, fear of being too young, fear of getting married, fear of staying married. I guess. I don't know. Well, praise the Lord. Maybe I went too far at that time. But anyway. But fear. You all know what I'm talking about. Okay. And Hittite is the most invisible and the most deceiving type of spirit. We call him a stealth operator because he can hide until you actually get into a place where he has to manifest. And when he manifests, you didn't know that fear was there. And folks, it can cause all kinds of things because it acts in combination with your mind and your emotions. That's why he said God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Power, love, and come on, sound mind. What can make people start breathing hard and short of breath. It can make people break out in hives. It can make all kinds of things fear can do. Its design is to paralyze you, stop you right in your tracks. And you're going to have to face your fears. What you didn't do before because you feared, now you're going to do it. You're going to do it. You're going to do it. You're going to do it by faith. And your faith, by you acting on your faith, will drive out that Hittite. Say amen to this. Because faith connects you with the anointing. And the anointing will move burdens and, come on, destroy yokes. Okay? Be surprised how those Hittites affect people. They control people's very actions. They can't leave. They can't go. They can't worship where they want to. They can't even hear a word of truth. Sometimes truth makes that fear come up inside of me. I'm getting out of here. They don't want to talk about things that need to be talked about in terms of things of God and so forth. Those spirits just driving them. And the Bible says fear is torment. It torments them. Are you following what I'm saying? It causes torment. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. So what am I saying here? We have to understand God has not given us that spirit. And in this particular case, this is in 2 Kings chapter 18. Now, can I give me about 3 more minutes? I am done, okay? In 2 Kings chapter 18, this is where The king Hezekiah was a good king over Israel, and he was beginning to reign over Judah, and he was really having Judah to be victorious. But now what had happened is and he removed all these high places, all these false gods they were had started worshiping because of bad leadership. And now they're bringing their trust back in the Lord. But now here comes Assyria, and they are becoming against Israel. And they have been besieging the suburban cities around, and now they're coming to Hezekiah. So they come to Hezekiah and begin to talk to him. And a lot of times what people have to be careful of is listening to the devil. That you can't listen to him. I said you can't listen to him. Because his job is to convince you of something that is not real, is not true, rather. And so look at verse 12 in chapter 18. Because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord their God, but transgressed his covenant and all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded, and would not hear them nor do them. In other words, that's why the Syrian king was able to take Israel. Because they would not obey God. Verse 13. Now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come up against all the fenced cities of Judah and took them. And Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria to Lachish, saying, I have offended. Return from me. That which thou puttest on me will I bear. And the king of Assyria appointed unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. So that's about $30 million. He said, you pay me $30 million. Now notice what Hezekiah is trying to do. He's trying to buy off the king of Assyria. He's trying to buy. How many of you know the devil won't be bought off? I'm telling you, he just wants all you got. He just wants total control of your life. He said, and all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house. And at that time, did Hezekiah even cut off the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord, from the pillars of which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid, and gave it to the king of Assyria. Lord have mercy, the devil is stripping them of everything they got. Now, notice what happened. He heard some things. He heard how they took the other cities. Well, he only took the other cities because they weren't obeying God and so forth. So now he's coming in, and look at verse 19. And Rabshakeh said to them, "Speak ye now to Hezekiah. Thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this wherein thou trustest?" Now, this is interesting about this. This whole idea of faith is just confidence in God. And so he is asking him, hey, why are you going to have confidence in this God that I just took all the other cities and so forth? Well, Hezekiah did some things, but pretty soon Hezekiah sent his men to Isaiah the prophet. What did he send him to him for? He wanted to get a word from the man of God. Look at chapter 19 and verse 6. And Isaiah said to them, "Thus shall you say unto your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which you have heard, with which the servant of the king of Assyria has blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and shall return to his own land. And I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land." I'm not going to even kill him on your property. I'm going to take him and run him to his own land and so forth. What did Hezekiah do? Hezekiah went back into his temple. He went back and got before God. And he then opened up this note which had been sent to him by the man of God. In other words, he opened up the Bible. He opened up the scriptures. He opened up the word of God. The Bible says, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? Because thou art with me. The presence of the Lord will drive out all fear. And I'm telling you, when fear comes in your life, you get the word of God and you begin to speak it out loud. You begin to declare things, what God has said. He always causes me to triumph. He will never fail me nor forsake me. And watch fear have to depart from your life. Verse 15, and Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, "Oh, Lord God," and he prayed that prayer. And come on down to verse 34, please. And then God said, "I will defend this city and save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake." And it came to pass that night, that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000 men. That's 185,000 men. And when they arose early in the morning, I'm talking about Hezekiah now, in the morning, they were all dead corpses. I'm talking about God will fight your battles for you. You get back over into faith. Don't let courage come out of your system. You get up in courage and say, "Wait a minute, I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. I am not going to accept this in my life. I want all fear to leave me starting right now. Satan, you cannot bring terror in my life. I am not afraid of you anymore. I'm not afraid to die. I'm not afraid to get sick. I am not afraid to go broke. I am not afraid of what people may say about me. I am not afraid to go to school. I am not afraid to face my relatives. I am not afraid. I am not afraid." And you do that enough, and the Spirit of God will come up in you, and praise will still the avenger. Praise will make the devil shut up. Praise will bring the presence of God in your life, and you will be free. God. Alabashanda. Woo! Give the Lord a praise. I'm out of time on that. Asatala Mahanda. Ekeke. Mandala Bahoso Torabahaya. Woo-wee! Alabahasatala Bahan. I command the spirit of fear in the sound of voice right now. I command you to leave the people of God right now in the name of Jesus. The blood is against you right now. You cannot stay. Go in Jesus' name. Now, Father, fill them with your word. Fill them with the Holy Ghost. Fill them with courage and power in the name of Jesus. Let every believer shout amen, amen. Some praise. That's what he wants now. You don't fear anything anymore, any man, anything. Ah, hey! Now you watch. When you go back and you wake up in the morning, there's going to be a new level of courage in you. There's going to be a boldness in you that wasn't in there yesterday. Come on now. I'm saying that the enemy had delayed some of your blessings because your faith was contaminated, but now it's been purified. I said it's been purified. Hey, money cometh to you now. Healing coming to you now. Woo! Deliverance. Take a seat. Woo. Aha. Aha. Help. 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 Woo. 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 Hey. Woo. We got to depart. Yes, sir. I knew we hit a gusher there. I felt the gusher coming on. Yeah. Take a seat. Take a seat. Now, that was the Holy Ghost. I didn't plan that. I said that was the Holy Ghost. He is in the house. He is delivering you from fear. Fear of what people think. Fear of what people say. Fear of anything the devil has tried to put in your way. Now, you watch what I tell you. Some things happen here tonight that you're not going to even know about for 2 or 3 days. But it happened on the inside of you. Your faith was contaminated, but now it has been purified. All right. If you're here tonight and you know in your life that you're not born again, you're not saved, I can tell you right now that's one of the main reasons why you have come tonight. Because God has a plan for your life. Now realize this, you can't get His plan if you don't know Him. So tonight is your night. So what I want to do tonight is the same thing they did for me years ago. Someone took me to a meeting and I received Jesus Christ. I had been in church, but church wasn't in me. And now what had happened is I sensed something was missing. And I knew it was. Didn't know what, but I knew something was missing. Well, God has a place in every one of us that only He can fill. And I don't care how much money you got, success or fame or no fame, you still feel something missing. Well, I got good news for you. He's here right now. He's ready to come into your heart, and guaranteed He'll change your life forever. So if you're here, I'm not asking you to join Living Word. You can do that today if you want to. But the main thing I'm asking you to do today is to get saved. To come into the kingdom of God, become a child of God tonight. And you can leave this place with your sins totally blotted out and a brand new start. If you're ready for it, I want to pray with you right now. Here's what I want you to do. Take a step of faith. Get up out of your chair. Come up here and stand with me right now. Let me pray the prayer of faith with you. Whoever that might be. Come on down.